Coffees for Closers. Written by Vlager. Read by Ashes and Ghost. Jonathan Taves has been frequenting Kaner's coffee shop for nearly 5 months now. He's been Kaner's... fuck, Kaner doesn't even know. Sort of best buddy that Kaner has a giant glaring crush on, maybe, for about 4.5. Or, okay, more like 4¾, or the entire time, whatever. The crush part, at least. Kaner refuses to take any of the blame for that, though. How was he not supposed to develop a crush when he glanced over the counter and there was this stupidly hot guy in a sharp suit that sat sinfully well on his broad, muscled shoulders? Yeah, he could tell they were muscled. The suit was that good. Actual Disney Prince hair swept back off his face apart from one errant strand curled loose over his forehead and wearing the pissiest expression Kaner had ever seen. Ugh, was all he managed to say, staring like a moron with his mouth open. Johnny's expression hadn't gotten any less pissy, and he said, slowly, like Kaner was an idiot, which he isn't, he'd just been blindsided, okay, shut up. I want a coffee. This is a coffee shop, Kaner said brightly. Johnny just raised an eyebrow. Right, obviously you know that. How do you like it? He bit down on his lip. He'd asked more customers than he could count the exact same question, but it had never come out so... explicit. Thankfully, Johnny ignored it, apart from a slight furrow between his brows, and said, "Triple shot latte, no sugar." "Coming right up," said Kaner, busying himself at the machine. "Rough day," he added as he worked, because he liked to chat in a regular situation, and fuck if he wasn't going to at least try and charm this guy. Kaner was totally charming. "It's not even lunchtime, and you're going for the triple shot." Johnny shrugged and said, "Regular day," frowning down at the phone in his hand, clearly projecting a don't-talk-to-me vibe. People in the next state over were probably feeling it. "Okay," said Kaner, rolling his eyes, and finished up his coffee in silence. He did say, "Thanks," as he paid, though, quirking Kaner a sort of douchey but no less spectacular for it half-smile, which Kaner totally took as permission to ogle his ass as he walked out. It was worth it, and then some. After that, he figured out that Johnny worked in the office building across the street, since he came back the next day for coffee, and twice the day after that. There'd been no rush the first few times, which meant that Kaner didn't have an excuse to ask for his name till the fourth day, at which point all he got was an absent Johnny. While Johnny typed out a furious email on his phone. Furious because Kaner was legitimately worried the thing would catch fire from the force of his glare. "Rough day, Johnny?" he said, and Johnny snapped his gaze up. "Yeah," he said after a silence, just staring at Kaner with dark, flat eyes, and then went back to his phone. Kaner was so totally charmed, it was ridiculous. Since Johnny wouldn't talk to him, despite Kaner's best efforts to draw out conversation, even when he was super busy making 3 or 4 drinks at once during rush time, he decided to go on a note-writing campaign. It was totally cute. Like, people did that shit in movies all the time. He started off with questions on Johnny's cups, like, "What's your full name?" and "Where are you from?" and "What do you do?" and stuff like that. But Johnny either didn't notice or was just ignoring them completely, so he escalated to rambling paragraphs with questions thrown in occasionally and lots of little things about himself and random things that just popped into his head. Like one time he wrote, "Dude, I watched American Pie on TV last night. That shit took me back, man. Not that I've ever got it on with a pie or any food, actually. Don't worry, I'm not a freak. But it's a total classic movie. Reminds me of high school, except high school was never that fun. Just hung around watching the movie instead of living it." And so on. It totally worked, too, because eventually Johnny snapped and barged into the shop in the quiet lull between the breakfast rush and lunch and said, "My name is Jonathan Taves. I'm from Winnipeg. I'm a lawyer. Yes, I like hockey. Obviously. I went to college at NDU. I hate getting up early, but I have to for work. I think Law and Order is classic TV, not Pretty Little Liars, whatever the hell that is. And you're the most annoying person I've ever met. Triple shot latte, no sugar." Kaner blinked, snapping his mouth closed, which had dropped open somewhere around the time he realized Johnny was talking to him in more than two-word sentences. "Wow, man," he said, flashing a grin. "Well, nice to officially meet you, Jonathan Taves." Johnny rolled his eyes. He was silent for a long moment, and Kaner sighed, thought maybe that was just Johnny's way of trying to make him stop with the messages or something. But then Johnny said, resting his elbows on the countertop, "You seriously read Twilight?" There was a smirk playing around his mouth, but it didn't look discouraging, just teasing, and Kaner blushed, ducking his head. "I have three sisters, shut up," he said. "That's not an excuse," said Johnny. "You haven't met them," said Kaner. "Besides, can you talk? Bet you're one of those people who reads nothing but The New Yorker. I know, we get them a lot in here." "I don't read The New Yorker," said Johnny slowly. "Sorry to ruin your illusion." "Something just as pretentious, then," said Kaner, waving a hand. "You think I'm pretentious?" said Johnny, raising an eyebrow. Said Kaner, raising his right back. "Fuck you," said Johnny, but there was no heat to it, and he was actually sort of smiling. "I read Dan Brown, actually, so..." "Oh my God," breathed Kaner, leaning over the counter delightedly. "Why would you tell me that? That's awful, dude. That's... I don't even have words." "Seriously?" said Johnny. "Twilight." "Nope," said Kaner, shaking his head. "No dice. Dan Brown can't even be read ironically. That shit is just plain bad. Plus, I told you, I was coerced into Twilight." "You seemed pretty into it on my coffee cup," said Johnny. "Fuck you," Kaner laughed. "So it's addictive, shut up. At least it's not Dan Brown." "At least I'm not a pretentious dick. It's a distraction, okay?" added Johnny defensively, scowling and folding his arms. "Work isn't always the most entertaining place on Earth." "Would have thought you'd like that," said Kaner, smirking. "I'm not boring," said Johnny in a long-suffering way that made Kaner think he'd been accused of the exact same thing many, many times. It made him giggle. Johnny glared at him. "Hey," Kaner held up his hands. "I'm just saying, maybe you need some new forms of entertainment." "Maybe," allowed Johnny, and wow, was that... He gave Kaner this really quick, sort of considering once over. "My coffee?" "Huh? Oh," Kaner slid it across the counter. "On the house, man. I feel like this is a big moment. You know, you talking like a semi-normal human and all." "Thanks," said Johnny. "And also, fuck you." "I still think you have secret pretentious habits, though," Kaner shouted after him. And Johnny flipped him off without looking. Kaner couldn't wipe the stupid grin off of his face for the rest of the day. Since then, the over-the-counter banter sort of accidentally developed into hanging out. Like, they started arguing about other things. The things Kaner had brought up in his messages and stuff. Movies and video games and hockey. And Johnny had Kaner over to force him through a marathon of his totally pretentious movies. And wouldn't let Kaner leave till he admitted they weren't completely terrible. Kaner sort of didn't want to admit it, just to see if Johnny actually meant it. Also, Johnny mocked him endlessly for crying over The Social Network, but fuck him, it's sad. Johnny smirked and said, "Don't worry, I cried the first time I saw it, too." Kaner said, "Really?" "No," said Johnny, "because I'm not a girl." He smirked some more. Kaner punched his arm, and Johnny punched back, and fuck, somehow they've totally become good buddies. So this is Kaner's life now, hanging out with Johnny and still making his triple shot lattes because Johnny's decided Kaner's the only one who makes it strong enough the way he likes it and puts in just the right amount of milk. Like, for real, one time Kaner's not in and Shawzy has to make Johnny's drink and Johnny doesn't stop bitching about it for a week. No, seriously, a week. He goes on and on about responsibility and being there to run your own business and customer loyalty and expectations, and in the end, Kaner shouts, "If you don't shut the fuck up, I'm going to accidentally on purpose put sugar in your coffee for the rest of forever." And Johnny rolls his eyes and folds his arms and says pissily, "Just make sure you're there when I need my coffee, asshole." He really is the neediest, most demanding asshole Kaner's ever been friends with. Kaner is, sadly, just kind of into it. The way he's into everything about Johnny, including the way Johnny breathes really ridiculously loudly when he falls asleep next to Kaner on the couch when they're hanging out. Although, he's not gone enough that he won't give Johnny shit about it. Seriously, though, he freaks out again when Kaner hires this new kid, Brandon, to help him out a bit, since, come on, Kaner has to deal with all the accounts and office crap, as well as putting in his fair share at the front counter. He needs the extra help. Johnny just frowns a lot, though, and says, "What hours are you giving him? Does he have experience? Can he even make coffee?" Kaner rolls his eyes and says, "I don't fucking know, loser. I'll figure it out. You can have a copy of the roster when I'm done." Johnny nods, satisfied. Only there's the interim period between when Kaner hires Brandon and manages to get the roster sorted, and, well, did Kaner mention that Johnny gets really weird and specific about his stupid precious morning coffee? Like, one time Kaner's on his break, hanging out in the kitchen and totally not waiting for the fresh batch of pastries to be done so he can steal one while Sieb's back is turned, when he hears Johnny's now familiar pre-morning coffee voice snap, "Where's Kaner?" "He's on break," says Brandon, the new kid, brightly. "Can I get you anything?" Kaner stifles a giggle as Johnny says, "Kaner just usually has it ready. He knows how I like it," sounding super pissy. Says Brandon nervously. "I can probably get him if..." "Oh my god," says Kaner, bursting into the front area. "Johnny, stop terrorizing sods here with your douchey neediness for my awesome coffee-making skills. I'll do it, but I expect an extra huge tip since I'm on my break, you high-maintenance loser." "You don't have to," says Johnny moodily, but his eyes are already zeroed in on Kaner's hands as he starts making the coffee, because of how he's the worst liar ever. Kaner rolls his eyes. "Right," he says. "Anyway, because I'm a generous person and shit, I'd rather not inflict you under the influence of subpar coffee on the world." "Coffee's coffee," says Johnny, shrugging. Kaner stops making the drink and looks at him incredulously. "Seriously?" he says. "You're saying that to me with a straight face after the tantrum you just threw?" "I didn't throw a tantrum," says Johnny, glaring. "Sure you didn't," says Kaner placatingly, sliding Johnny's coffee across the counter. Johnny takes a sip, the way he always does before saying anything, or paying, and Kaner totally doesn't stare at the way his eyes flutter in appreciation, or his throat as he swallows. "Thanks," says Johnny grudgingly. "Huh?" Kaner blinks. "Oh, right. No problem." Johnny raises an eyebrow at him, and slides a 20 across the counter. "Keep the change," he says, and turns to head out of the shop. "This doesn't make up for being a douche," Kaner shouts after him, and very deliberately doesn't think about how he actually kind of loves Johnny's stupid, hilarious douchiness, or his everything else. So, yeah, there's the whole being sort of in love with Johnny thing, but that's totally not important. Not at all. Right. Kaner sighs and decides to go drown his sorrows in delicious pastries. "You don't even have sorrows," Siebes tells him as Kaner sits on the unoccupied space on his workbench, kicking his legs. "If you just say something, you'd be totally in there by now. He clearly likes you, and he doesn't like anyone as far as I can tell." "We're buddies," says Kaner. "And of course he likes me, I'm awesome. But in a buddy way. He's all..." He screws up his face, trying to come up with a word to adequately describe Johnny, and failing utterly. "Him. And also, shut the fuck up, you hypocrite. Have you talked to the guy from the gym yet?" "That's totally different," says Siebes haughtily, and pulls a tray of cinnamon scrolls from the oven. Kaner would argue, because it totally isn't, but he's too busy stuffing his face. And burning his tongue, since they just came out of the oven, Kaner, you moron, groans Siebes, handing him a carton of milk from the fridge. Kaner gulps down the milk and wonders kind of hysterically what his life has become. Like, it's awesome. Johnny is awesome, if a bit freakishly motivated and shit like that, pushing himself too hard at work and whatever. But he loosens up around Kaner, and Kaner is kind of constantly stupidly pleased that Johnny lets him in like that, that he can do that for Johnny. And it's just so Johnny, like everything else about him, obviously. And it seems like a really stupid thing to think, because of course he's him, who else would he be? But Kaner's never met anyone who he's so completely into like this, who makes him laugh and challenges him and argues with him and indulges his stupid whims at the same time as telling him they're dumb, who's also kind of a dork and kind of awkward and just kind of perfect. So, yeah, it's awesome. But he also doesn't know what to do with himself or Johnny or the two of them, because being buddies is so fucking amazing, but he just wants. He's leaning morosely on the counter just after the lunch rush because his tongue hurts and because he really wants to kiss Johnny a lot. And Johnny comes into the pretty much empty shop for his usual pick-me-up and says immediately, "What's wrong with you?" Kaner sighs and starts making Johnny's coffee and says, "Nothing. Bad day. Burned my tongue and stuff." He pokes his tongue out, trying to look down at it, which doesn't work, so he just licks his lips with another sigh. Johnny's staring at him, though, when he glances up, and he kind of looks like he's been punched in the face. So Kaner freezes and says, "What? What's wrong?"
Nothing,
says Johnny, sounding strangled, and shakes his head.
"No, seriously, what?" says Kaner. "You look like someone just died, dude."
He chews on his bottom lip.
"I stopped doing that, oh my god," says Johnny.
"Doing what?" says Kaner stupidly.
"You... God, never mind, just give me my fucking coffee."
"No," says Kaner, clutching the cup to his chest. "I'm holding it hostage till you tell me." Johnny just glares at him, but Kaner is totally immune to his freaky dead eyes by now, so he just glares back, and is a contest, like everything between them kind of is, just waiting for the first person to cave, and this time it's Johnny. He growls, there's no other word for it, and grabs a fistful of Kaner's collar, hauling him over the counter and kissing him brutally. Johnny's coffee goes flying, because obviously Kaner brings his hands up immediately to tangle in Johnny's hair, and then they're just kissing messy and dirty over the counter, until someone clears their throat behind Johnny and says,
I can come back?"
Johnny pulls back, breathing hard, and cheeks so flushed, and he doesn't even look at the person, keeps staring at Kaner, eyes dropping to his mouth briefly before he makes eye contact again and says, "I'll come back when you close," and leaves. Kaner blinks at the person, who is, it turns out, Dunks, Sieb's guy from the gym, and Dunks grins at him and says, "So I should just order a regular coffee, right? You look like you can't handle anything more complicated right now." Kaner says, yeah, and makes the coffee on autopilot because, holy shit, Johnny is into him. Johnny's coming back. Holy shit. Also, Dunks clears his throat kind of awkwardly when Kaner's handed him his drink and he's paid, just standing there fiddling the cup between his hands, and says, is Siebes here?"
"Siebes!"
shouts Kaner immediately. Siebes sticks his head around the kitchen door and then blushes when he sees Dunks stepping out and saying,
Hey,
palming the back of his neck. Kaner rolls his eyes. "Take over the counter for a minute, man," he says. "I need a break."
"Sure,"
says Siebes, not even looking at him, and waves him off. He's still nervous and jumpy as shit when Johnny comes back at the end of the day, and he shoves a piece of paper at him as soon as he walks in and says,
"Here, I printed out the shift roster for you, so if you come in sometime when I'm not here again, you have no one to blame but yourself."
"Thanks," says Johnny, blinking. He folds it carefully and puts it in his coat pocket, then looks back at Kaner.
"So," says Kaner, licking his lips.
Johnny groans and grabs the front of his shirt, which Kaner could totally get used to, fuck, and hauls him into a kiss, wet and bruising,
Johnny is an amazing kisser, licking into Kaner's mouth like he owns it, like he wants to press himself in as deep as he can. Kaner clutches at Johnny's stupid shoulders, fingers teasing the ends of his hair, and Johnny moans into his mouth, sliding one hand around to press into the dip at the base of his spine, down over his ass, and get their hips lined up. He's hard, shit, and so is Kaner, and it feels like electricity, like Kaner could spark up and fizzle out and die. The hard, hot press of their dicks through all that fabric, Johnny's thick thigh pushing up between his legs, getting him off. It's perfect, and yet not even close to enough. He wants to get Johnny naked, touch him everywhere, see what his dick looks like, get his hand or his mouth on it. Kaner clutches desperately at Johnny's shoulders and gasps, "Fuck, fuck, you fucking asshole! Should've done this the first time you came in!" Johnny pulls back to scrape his teeth over Kaner's jaw and mumbles, "You wanted me to?" "Yes," groans Kaner, tipping his head back, baring his neck for Johnny invitingly. Johnny takes the hint, biting into the soft flesh there, sucking a bruise up under the skin. Kaner bucks, gasping wetly. "Fuck, Kaner," whispers Johnny. "Is Siebes gone?" "Yeah," says Kaner stupidly, squeezing his eyes closed. Johnny is sucking another hickey into his skin, just inches from the one already throbbing and stinging and going straight to his dick. "Yeah, he starts at, like, 4 a.m, so he leaves in the afternoon. Johnny, fuck!" Johnny manhandles him back onto one of the tables, close to the counter and hidden from the front of the shop, getting his hands under Kaner's thighs to hitch him up and then pressing back over him, between his legs, getting his hands in Kaner's curls this time, kissing him some more. "Thought about this," he mumbles against Kaner's lips. "You're such a shit, you make me crazy." "Yeah," breathes Kaner, grinning stupidly. "Yeah," says Johnny, biting into his bottom lip. He jerks Kaner off right there on one of Kaner's own tables, pants tugged open just enough to get his dick out, shirt pushed up under his arms so when he comes it's all over his bare chest. Kaner just makes dumb, blissed-out faces at the ceiling for a moment, and it should be awful, the way Johnny jerked him so fast it almost hurt, the way the table is digging into his back, the overbright lights of the shop and the cum sticking to his chest. But it's not. It's fucking fantastic. And Kaner feels like he could fall asleep right here with Johnny's weight on him. He doesn't, though. He does push Johnny off so he can drop to his knees in front of him. And Johnny groans, "Oh, fuck, Kaner," and tangles a hand tight in his hair. He sucks Johnny off, messy and sweet, still weighed down and drunk feeling. But Johnny's pretty into it, tugging on Kaner's hair in sharp little motions. And Kaner lets himself be guided. Thinks he'll be ready to go again pretty soon just from the sounds Johnny's making, choked off and desperate, never mind the silky, hot, slick pulse of Johnny's dick in his mouth. He swallows it all when Johnny comes, mouthing him through it, and then pulls off, grinning. "Fuck yeah," he says, licking his lips. Johnny makes a wounded noise and drops to the floor in front of Kaner and kisses him. "Oh my God," says Kaner when Johnny lets him up to breathe, pitching forward to rest his head in the curve of Johnny's shoulder. Johnny lifts a hand to push through his hair, settling the other over his spine, holding him in place. "Gonna have to Clorox that shit," he adds, mumbled. "Tomorrow," says Johnny. "Come back to my place." "Yeah," says Kaner, pulling back to grin stupidly. "Okay, yeah. Want you to fuck me." Johnny smirks at him. "Yeah?" he says. "Don't look so smug about it, fuckface," says Kaner. "Like you couldn't tell." Johnny just says, smirking some more, the douche, and tugs Kaner into another kiss. And then they're dating, and Kaner's life is officially the awesomest. They go skating together one time, and they're both kind of blown away by how good the other is, and there's lots of fierce one-on-one contests interspersed with lazy, pink-cheeked loops around the rink. And, like, Kaner still sometimes gets pangs about how his dumb, dodgy wrists meant he couldn't pursue hockey professionally, but right now, in this moment, he's kind of glad for it, because if he was a professional player, he doesn't think he'd be able to do this, lick into Johnny's warm, wet mouth in the middle of the rink with people all around them, Johnny's hand curled heavy and possessive around the back of his neck. And it's pretty much all he wants right now. He spends a lot of time, or, well, a lot more time, at Johnny's place and finds out, to his utter delight, that Johnny is kind of pretentious after all. Well, he already knew that, but now he has proof, because he reads these magazines in, wait for it, French. Kaner is like, I knew it! Oh my god, so pretentious. Johnny rolls his eyes and says, it's not pretentious if I speak French, assface. And then Kaner makes Johnny speak French for him. They also have this cop who starts frequenting the shop for his coffee, and Kaner thinks he's kind of terrifying, but the first time he walks in, Shawzy glances up and drops the coffee he's halfway through making, and then glares furiously at Kaner while he giggles uncontrollably. It turns out the cop isn't really terrifying at all, though, actually kind of sweet, and he hangs around a lot, although only whenever Shawzy has a shift. Kaner thinks it's super obvious and super cute, but Shawzy just mutters, you're not the only one who makes good coffee. He just likes my mochas. Right, says Kaner, leering. It's your mochas he wants a piece of. Shawzy throws a packet of coffee beans at him and says, you were so much less annoying before you were in a relationship and, like, all happy and shit. Lies, says Kaner happily. I was always this annoying. You're not wrong, says Johnny from where he's going through briefs at one of the tables. Pipe down, asshole, says Kaner, or I'll kick you out of my shop. You will not, says Johnny way too confidently. Kaner just rolls his eyes and goes to make Johnny's afternoon coffee. And eventually the cop, whose name is also Brandon, asks Shawzy out, and he comes in the next morning looking super happy, and Kaner's like, ooh, good date? Did you put out, Shawzy? How's the scary cop in bed? Shawzy goes bright red and mutters, fuck off, asshole. Kaner gapes at him and points accusingly, you did put out, oh my god! Which is when Johnny clears his throat from across the counter, and Kaner rolls his eyes, but makes his coffee, and Shawzy escapes to the kitchen. Although he does say, he's great in bed, for the record, before he disappears. And meanwhile, Dunks and Siebes have become weirdly inseparable, although Kaner can't figure out whether they're actually boning or are just the weirdest bros he's ever come across. And that's saying something, because there are these two local college kids, both called Tyler, who hang out in his shop all the time, and they are freaky as shit in terms of how attached they are. Things are great for ages. Johnny and Kaner keep dating, and it's just so easy. They fall and then fit into each other's lives like it's the most natural thing in the world. Occasionally, Johnny throws his ridiculous lawyer salary around and takes them somewhere super expensive, but more often they're just hanging out, usually at Taser's place, or sometimes going for drinks with Siebes and Dunks and Shawzy and the Brandons. They also have a lot of sex, obviously, which Kaner is not complaining about at all. Sometimes Kaner wonders if it's too good, though. Too easy. Not in terms of, like, being unsatisfied in any way, because just, fuck no, his life is awesome. But in this way where he feels like he's waiting for the other shoe to drop, for something to go wrong, because people aren't supposed to be this happy and content or whatever in real life. The worst thing is how it does, sort of. Because it turns out Johnny's actually super good at his job, which doesn't surprise Kaner in the slightest. But he does sometimes forget that Johnny has this whole world outside of Kaner and the coffee shop, and Johnny gets offered an amazing job in New York, which obviously means he'd have to move away. And Kaner is kind of gutted, but he bites down on his lip and doesn't say anything, because he refuses to be the one who makes Johnny feel guiltier than he already does. And also, Johnny totally deserves it. He works so fucking hard. And yeah, it pisses Kaner off sometimes, but it's just the way Johnny is. And he also loves him for it. Johnny's been looking super stressed since he got the offer, tired and pinched, dark bruises under his eyes. It sucks, because he should be happy, and Kaner is kind of maniacally cheerful in an effort to make up for it, even though he knows it comes off as fake and a bit painful. Things get a bit weird between them. They're not spending less time together or anything, but Johnny keeps looking like he's about to say something, sometimes even getting as far as opening his mouth and saying, Kaner, I... and then stopping and shaking his head. Kaner doesn't push it because part of him is terrified about what Johnny's going to say. Like maybe he's trying to tell Kaner he's leaving. And Kaner's not going to stop him, sure, but he doesn't want to hear it. He knows he probably will at some point, but he's happy to live in not-so-blissful denial until then. They fuck a lot. Not that they usually don't, but it's suddenly super intense and quiet, where usually it's a lot of bickering and laughing and shoving around. Johnny holds Kaner down with his face pushed into the mattress and fucks him sharp and brutal, mouthing wetly at the back of his neck, scraping his teeth over the top of his spine. Or he'll spread Kaner out on his back and hold his wrists above his head, tight enough that he leaves bruises that Kaner presses against whenever he has a spare moment at work, and buries his face in Kaner's neck as he thrusts. Kaner always winds up feeling tight in his throat after, a little bit like he's going to cry, and he curls into Johnny and closes his eyes and tries to memorize Johnny's warmth, the feel of him against Kaner's back, the way he fits his arm over Kaner's waist and tangles their fingers together. He's all droopy and mopey at work, and he feels bad because he knows it's getting everyone down, and they keep looking at him all earnest and sad like they want to help, but fuck. He spends a lot of time in Zeeb's kitchen, leaning back against the wall with his legs crossed on one of the long countertops, although he still goes out to make Johnny's coffee whenever he comes in. He's sitting there maybe a week after Johnny got the job offer, and Siebes, who is sick of Kaner and Johnny being morons but hasn't said anything, channeling it mostly into roughing up his pastry dough and also having whispered super annoying conversations with Dunks that Kaner knows are about him because they keep glancing over at him every 2 seconds, says, "You need to tell him, you idiot." Kaner blinks at him slowly and says, "Tell who what?" Siebes rolls his eyes and throws the croissant dough viciously onto the counter. "Johnny," he says, "that you love him." Kaner stares at him wide-eyed for a moment, and then looks away, shrugging sadly. "I don't," he says, biting down on his lip. "If you tell me you're not disgustingly in love with him right now," says Siebes evenly, "I'm going to beat you up. He is the emotionally crippled one, not you. You're just an idiot." "I'm not, I mean, I know I am. Come on," says Kaner. I don't want to be the one making him feel guilty or holding him back." Siebes just stares at him incredulously. "Loving someone isn't holding them back, you dumb fuck," he says eventually. "Tell him." Kaner sighs and tips his head back against the wall and says, "Yeah, maybe," closing his eyes. He's eating dinner with Johnny in Johnny's living room that night, sprawled on the couch with takeout, and they're watching MasterChef, which Kaner loves and Johnny kind of hates. But whatever, it's not lame, fuck Johnny very much. It's beautiful and emotional. Johnny's making faces at the TV like he always does when they watch something he doesn't like, and he's also picking the noodles out of his takeout container because he's a freak. And Kaner is so, so stupidly in love with him that it kind of knocks the breath out of him a little. It's a total moment, even if it is happening while a girl on screen is crying over her wobbly-looking layer cake and he has a box of Chinese food on his lap. But he loves Johnny. Like, he really feels like this is it for him. He doesn't want anyone else. He wants Johnny around being a douche and a hilarious, sarcastic asshole forever. And God, it's good, this thing they have. So fucking good, and Siebes was right. It'd be kind of a dick move on Kaner's part not to fight for it. He'd never forgive himself. And maybe Johnny wouldn't either. He hopes, anyway. He lurches around on the couch to face Johnny, snatching the container from his hands. "Kaner, what the fuck?" says Johnny, chopsticks halfway to his mouth. "I love you," says Kaner. "You asshole, okay, I love you, and..." He doesn't get to finish, because Johnny's dropping his chopsticks and lunging in to kiss him, pushing him into the couch with all his weight and licking into Kaner's mouth like he's dying. He doesn't let Kaner up for a really long time, and when he does, he looks kind of crazy, wild-eyed and flushed, breathing hard and staring down at Kaner. "Wow," says Kaner, pushing a hand through Johnny's hair. "That's good?" Johnny just says, "Kaner." And wow, his voice has never sounded quite like that, so wrecked and loaded. And he leans in to kiss Kaner again, less brutally, but still deep, thorough, and claiming. "Johnny," gasps Kaner when Johnny pulls back again. "I'm not taking the job in New York," says Johnny fiercely. "What?" says Kaner, even though that's what he's wanted all along, but he wanted it for himself, selfishly. He wants Johnny to have what's best for him. Although there's this slowly unfurling hope in his belly that maybe Kaner can be what's best for Johnny. Still, but you should... "I don't want it," says Johnny. "I want you." Kaner realizes belatedly that his hands are shaking a little where they're clutching the back of Johnny's shirt. He just wants to shut up and accept it, but he has to make sure, because this isn't just his life, it's Johnny's too. "But you, Johnny, you shouldn't. That job is amazing. You..." "Kaner," says Johnny, rolling his eyes. "I'm fucking good at what I do, okay? I don't need to take every job that gets thrown at me." "This one was different, though," says Kaner. "You said..." "I know," says Johnny. "I don't care. I've already convinced my firm here to match the pay."
"You have?"
says Kaner, blinking. Johnny rolls his eyes again.
"I'm good," he says.
Kaner tries to kick him. It doesn't really work, since Johnny's got him pinned with his weight. "Okay, you superior douchebag," he says, and then, breathing out quieter, "Okay." "Okay," says Johnny, nodding once, firm, and nudging in to kiss him, stupidly soft. "I didn't want," he says against Kaner's mouth, and Kaner hums encouragingly, fitting his mouth over Johnny's upper lip. Johnny groans and continues, "I didn't want to assume. I would have taken it if you didn't." Kaner says, "Oh," and surges up to kiss Johnny harder, rolling his eyes at the same time, because of course Johnny was waiting for him, the emotionally crippled loser. "I love you," he says again when he pulls back. "I love the shit out of you, just so we're clear." "We're clear," says Johnny dryly, but he ducks his head, flushing, and adds, "I... you too."
"Me too what, asshole?" says Kaner, because come on, he deserves it after the week he's had.
"I love you too, fuckface," says Johnny, pinching the side of his neck.
"Ow!" says Kaner.
"Okay, you can fuck me now."
"I wasn't done with my food," says Johnny, smirking, but he's also hitching his hips down against Kaner's, so Kaner doesn't take him too seriously. Not that he ever does.
"You really were," says Kaner firmly, and for once, Johnny doesn't argue. Just says, "Yeah, okay," quietly, and presses his mouth to Kaner's neck so Kaner can tip his head back and stare at the ceiling and have a moment to think about how stupidly, impossibly fucking happy he is. The end. Thank you for listening.